Okay, this mimer was given by our Rebbe on the Rebbe's birthday, Yud Aleph Nissan, in 1973. And it's about the question that the child asks at the Seder table. When your son will ask you tomorrow, what are these laws that Hashem, our God, has commanded you? You should tell your son, we were slaves to Pare in Egypt, and Hashem, our God, took us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched hand. And the verse concludes, Hashem commanded us to do all of these commandments in order that we fear Hashem our God, so that it be good for us all of our days to give us life as we are alive today. That's what the Torah says. Your child asks a question, what are these laws? Or these laws and chukum mishpatim uses three different adjectives to describe different kinds of laws. And we tell our child that Hashem took us out of Egypt, that He commanded us to keep these laws, and that which are good for us, in order that we should fear Him. It's known that there's a question that could be asked about this. There are different verses in the Torah describing different questions that different children ask. And this verse is referring to the question of the wise son. There's a wise son, the wicked son, the simple son, the one who does not know how to ask. And this verse is referring to the wise son. But Raya, and the proof that this is referring to the wise son is, because in his question, he mentions three different kinds of laws. That means he's aware that there are different kinds of laws. There are the laws which are completely above human rationale, chukim. There are laws like mishpatim, which are completely within a human being's understanding, things that we would do on our own. And then there are laws which are testimonies that Hashem commanded us to that we should do. We wouldn't come to them by ourselves, but once Hashem has commanded us to do them, we can explain that these mitzvahs are testimonies to various things that Hashem has done. Like we rest on Shabbos to testify that Hashem rested on Shabbos. So this child, he knows about all the different kinds of laws. That means he is a wise child. Unlike the child who is the opposite of wise, it looks like the Rebbe does not want to use the word wicked. Not like the child who is the opposite of wise. The way his question is phrased is, what is this service of yours about? It doesn't distinguish, doesn't make talk about different kinds of laws. And unlike the simple son, who asks in a more general way, and he says, what is this? But because he is a wise son, he does know about the distinction between the different kinds of laws, the of Eidus Chukum Mishpatim. And the question is this: since he is a wise son, he knows the details of the Torah and its commandments. So we need to understand, what is his question? Why did Hashem give the Torah and its commandments? If he knows the Torah, so why is he asking, why did Hashem give us the Torah? The entire written Torah, and certainly the oral Torah, is full with a discussion about the intent you have to have when you do mitzvahs, about the reward you get for keeping mitzvahs. What room is there for the question, what are these Eidus Chukum Mishpatim about? What room is there for such a question? Every mitzvah has its specific intent you're supposed to have when you do that mitzvah. And every mitzvah has a reward for that, for performing that mitzvah. So what is his question? Why did Hashem give us the Torah and the commandments? Every mitzvah has its reward. Every mitzvah has its thought that accompanies the mitzvah that you're supposed to think about. What is his question? If he knows the Torah, he should know. The Torah says reasons and intentions for the various commandments. The Torah is full of that. Gam tzarech lahavin, that's question number one. And here is question number two. In the response to the child, the Torah says to say to him two things. First of all, tell him that we were slaves to Pari in Egypt. Hashem took us out of Egypt. And second, that Hashem commanded us to keep all these commandments because they're good for us, so that we should fear Hashem.
Black background, emunah, the strongest motivation.
L'chaim.
Black background, every Jewish citizen. Totality of the Jewish people, body, black background. Or is that because you are a Jewish citizen you have that innate sensitivity ability, while the Shechina rests on a million?
Okay. The response to the child includes two parts. First of all, that Hashem took us out of Egypt. And second, that we should do these commandments because they're good for us, so that we should fear Hashem. Seemingly, the response to the child is, we keep these mitzvahs because they're good for us, so that we should fear Hashem. Why do we have to give this preface, Hashem took us out of Egypt? Why is that relevant to his question? Gam tzarech lahavin shehashayla hi ma itz chukim hashpatim v'hamayne yivatzeveinu avayetz chol chukim gemer l'chur hari zeh mayne al rak l'shab b'dine chukim v'in kein adayin nishar hashayla b'in gil tiva al eitz mishpatim. In his question, he references all kinds of commandments. And in the response to the wise child, we only mention the laws of chukim, the super-rational laws. So if we're only answering one kind of law, then his question is still pertinent. His question hasn't been answered about the Eidos and Mishpatim. If we're only answering the purpose of the Chukim, then he still has a question, and that hasn't been answered about the Eidos and the Mishpatim. So these are our three questions. Question number one is, why does he ask, if he's a wise son, why does he ask, why do we need the Torah? The Torah itself says the purpose and the intent of the mitzvahs in many places. Question number two is, why do we have to tell him that we keep the mitzvahs because Hashem took us out of Egypt? The important point seems to be, we keep the mitzvahs because they're good for us, so that we should fear Hashem. Why would you also mention that Hashem took us out of Egypt? And question number three is, why does the father only respond to the chukim, and he does not mention anything about the Eidos and the Mishpatim, which seems to, he hasn't answered his child's question. He only answered part of it. So the general answer is this. Since he is a wise child, he knows about the content of the Torah and its commandments. And he knows that a mitzvah means not only commandment, he knows that a mitzvah means connection. He knows that by performing a mitzvah, you create a bond, a connection between the person performing the mitzvah and Hashem who's commanded the mitzvahs. If doing a mitzvah creates a connection, how much more so does studying Torah create a connection? As Tanya explains the greatness of Torah and how the study of Torah surpasses the performance of mitzvahs. Why? The mitzvahs are called the 248 limbs of the king. The 248 commandments, the Zohar says, are called the 248 limbs of the king. They're just like by the limbs of a human body. The number of limbs we have is 248, and each limb is a vessel for a unique power of the soul. That limb is able to contain able to house each a specific kind of energy of the soul, so too every one of the positive commandments is a vessel to bring down the light that comes from Hashem's desire. When a Jew does this specific mitzvah, he draws down a light of Hashem coming from Hashem's desire. That's why the mitzvahs are called the limbs of the king. Just like our limbs contain part of the soul, each limb another part, so too each mitzvah draws down another light from Hashem's desire. That's what mitzvahs are. However, Torah is beyond this. The Torah and Hashem are one. We're in the Maimar on page Vav. The Torah and Hashem are one. The Torah is not just like the limbs of the king. The Alter Rebbe says in the Zohar says that the 248 commandments are the 248 limbs of the king. So they're Hashem's innermost desire. Fine. And they are the source of sustenance for the world. All of the energy that is distributed throughout the entire world comes from the performance of mitzvahs. The Hashem's desire for creation is called external desire. There is external desire and there's inner desire. It's like you buy the pack of gum because you want to get the baseball cards, right? You don't want the gum, you just want the baseball cards. So to the Eibishter, he doesn't want the world per se, he wants the world for the sake of mitzvahs. So the mitzvahs are Hashem's inner desire. So when a person does a mitzvah, so the energy, the person doing the mitzvah, becomes a vessel, a conduit for Hashem's desire. He becomes the body for the soul, meaning Hashem's desire. The person becomes the body for the soul for Hashem's desire. So the limbs, the body of a person doing the mitzvah, they're like the just like what the body is to the soul. That is what a Jew is to Hashem's desire when he performs a mitzvah. He is becoming a vehicle for Hashem's desire to be fulfilled. So that's what mitzvahs are. Mitzvahs are becoming a chariot to Hashem's desire, becoming a body to the soul, to Hashem's will. But when you think about Torah, and you say words of Torah, so first of all, it's not just your external part of your body. That's your actions which are performing the mitzvah. It's something deeper within you. It's not only being a chariot to Hashem's will. Rather, the word of Hashem, halacha, the will of Hashem itself is what you're thinking about. It's not that you're just a body to the will of Hashem. Hashem's will is like the soul, and you're a body to Hashem's will. When you think about if this is kosher, this is not kosher, this is you're obligated, you're not obligated, you actually have in your mind the wisdom of Hashem, the will of Hashem, the words of Hashem. So just like the Torah is one with Hashem himself, so to the person who is thinking the words of Torah, he is uniting his thoughts with the wisdom of Hashem. He is becoming one with Hashem. His mind is thinking Hashem's thoughts. So that's the advantage that Torah study has over mitzvahs. They're not just merely a vehicle, a chariot to perform Hashem's will, but more, you are merging your mind to become one with Hashem's wisdom. The Teichon Shalos says, therefore the question of the wise child is, Eich Nase in Tav Zechiv Ben Kodesh Baruch Hu. How can we create a bond with Hashem? That's the inner meaning of the words, Tziva Vayal Keinu Eschem. In the response to the wise child, we say, Hashem our God. Sorry, in the words of the question of the wise child, he says, what are these commandments that Hashem our God has commanded you? So the word commanded it actually means connection. His question is, how can they create this connection? I know that Torah study creates a higher connection. I know that a mitzvah creates also a connection. My question is, how can a mitzvah create a connection with Hashem? By performing these laws, we create a connection. The body is doing these mitzvahs. And the body is doing mitzvahs with physical things. We're putting on tefillin. were putting on tzitzis made out of an animal hide, out of animal wool, and all other physical mitzvahs. The wise child thinks, his question is, creating a bond with Hashem is more about giving your life to Hashem. When you give yourself over completely to Hashem, you're ready to die for Hashem, that's a bond with Hashem. Or through some other spiritual service of Hashem, through your godly soul serving Hashem. That's how you create a connection to Hashem. Your godly soul's experience of love and reverence for Hashem, that creates a connection.
That's the wise child?
That's a wise child.
Shouldn't the wise child just say, wait a minute, why is there a difference between this and this? Hashem said to eat on Shabbos, you eat on Shabbos.
That's one interpretation of the wise child's question. That's an accurate question.
So, remind of Kamina, why would there be a difference if you put on tefillin or you eat on Shabbos? Hashem told you to do that, he told you to do that. Tefillin is spiritual, you don't understand. Eat on Shabbos, you say, wow, I get to eat a good steak. Hashem told me to eat a good steak, so it's a physical thing, but it's still a commandment of Hashem.
His question is about Shabbos.
He's a wise guy, so if it's a wise guy, you should understand that.
You should understand that?
Hi. It's both the same thing.
Shabbos and tefillin are the same thing. He doesn't send either of them. How can any physical action create a connection with Hashem? That's his question. How could a physical action create a connection? The question is, what did Hashem say? What did Hashem do? In other words, you tell your child, look both ways before you cross the street, and I'm going to give you a candy. So the child has two rewards. He's rewarded that he doesn't get hit by a car, and also it's a supernatural reward that you gave him a candy. What's the mechanics over here? What is it about the mitzvah that creates a bond with Hashem? Is it merely because it's the will of Hashem? Is it something else? It doesn't seem that the content of what you're doing has any spiritual... Is Hashem, is there a reward like the candy, or is there a reward like crossing the street, where you're safe because...
The part of him connecting with the Father too.
What is it? What is it that creates a connection? It seems if we're talking about connecting to Hashem, it would be relevant to give your all, to die for Hashem. You know, Shama's experience is a more spiritual, deeper experience. It would seem that creates a connection. We could add explanation about the specific words he uses. He uses these three words, three different descriptions of different kinds of mitzvahs. These three languages, three terms, titles that he's using for mitzvahs, indicate that we're talking about a low level of performance. Why? A testimony is only relevant for something you can't see with your eyes. If there's something that's not known now, but it will be known soon, you also don't need to have a proper testimony. That's why certain things, we trust people who are not kosher witnesses, we trust them for certain things that are going to be eventually discovered. Like, you're allowed to trust, according to the Beis Yosef, you're allowed to trust a non-Jew if their milk that is mixed in with a chont, can he taste the milk in the chont? Why can you trust him? One reason you can trust him is because everyone's going to taste the chont. And if he says there's no taste of the milk in the chont and everyone else tastes the milk, then it will come out that everyone could see that he wasn't saying the truth. So it's called milsta vidlugoy, something which is eventually going to become exposed. So you don't need to have proper testimony for something that is going to eventually become exposed. And you could even trust someone who's not a kosher witness. So the fact that we're talking about testimony vis-a-vis in reference to performing a mitzvah, that means what is a person doing with his mitzvah? What is he missing? And what is the mitzvah giving him? We're talking about a person who is in a state that godliness is not only is not revealed to him, but it's not even something that will be revealed to him. Not even something which is coming up soon, which eventually, something which will be exposed. The mitzvah he does is like a testimony of a hidden fact that he's not at all aware of. Let me say it this way. We were discussing this on Shabbos. There was a system in the calendar at one point where witnesses came and they gave testimony that they saw the moon. And then this system changed when the Jewish court was dissolved and after the temple was destroyed. And instead, Hillel made a calendar that determines when the new moon will appear, and based on that, that's when we have our we know when Rosh Chodesh is and when we know when the holidays are. So Rebbe explained the inner meaning of this phenomena. Rebbe said there was a time that you could see the moon. Seeing the moon means that you could see the light emerging from the darkness. Even though it's dark, you could see that there's going to be light coming out of the darkness. You could see it. But then there is a time when it's so dark that you can't see how the darkness is going to lead to more light. Instead, Hillel made a rule that you should at least understand logically that this will happen. You may not be able to see it, but you should be able to at least understand it. So I was explaining on a personal level how sometimes you're going through a situation and you don't see personally or to the Jewish people as a whole collectively, because of the anti-Semitism, because of whatever it is, you don't see how this is going to lead to any light, greater light. So the Torah says, at least understand it, at least have a conviction and know that this is how the purpose of darkness is always the purpose of a greater light. So this guy is performing, getting back to our subject over here, this guy is performing mitzvahs, he needs a testimony for the mitzvah. Why does he need a testimony? Because he's totally in the dark. Not only is he in the dark and he could see the light that's going to come out, but he can't even see that's going to happen. Any light's going to come out of his darkness. He feels like completely in the dark from godliness. And his mitzvah is just a testimony of something which is completely hidden from him. The same logic applies to the word chukim. It also indicates that we're talking about someone whose spiritual caliber leaves much to be desired. The word chukim means to be engraved. In order to engrave something upon something else, you have to make a great effort. It's a lot harder than writing something. Certainly it's a lot harder than saying something. So if we're talking about a person who needs to have the Judaism engraved upon him, that means that he wouldn't fulfill the mitzvahs without a great effort convincing him to keep the mitzvahs. In order for him to do it, you have to engrave it into him. It's so far into him that you need to like superimpose it upon him with great effort. It needs to be engraved in him because he doesn't have any of it at all. You have to go through a lot of break through a lot of exterior resistance to the mitzvah in order for him to fulfill the mitzvah. This also connects with the simple meaning of what chukim are. Chukim are mitzvahs that we don't understand, and because we don't understand them, both the Yetzer Hara within, the Satan, and the nations of the world chastise the Jewish people, and they say to them, why are you performing this? What is this for? Not only are these mitzvahs not logical, but they're the opposite of logic. And yet, a Jew does them anyways. That's hard. So that means a person is in a state that his mind says the opposite. His mind says, I don't need to do this. It doesn't make sense. In order for him to be connected to these mitzvahs, he needs to make a great effort. And that shows a person is in a very low spiritual state. That's why he needs to make such an effort. And as we'll see tomorrow, mitzvahs of mishpatim, which are logical, and the animal soul understands them, and the animal soul is very earthy, and the animal soul is into the physical, into low things. So we're talking about a person who is... is so animalistic that Let's say, hold on. Yeah, the mitzvah has to speak to him, has to be. We're talking about a person who needs it to make sense to his animal soul. That he has such a resistance for the mitzvahs that he doesn't want to do it unless it makes sense to him. Therefore, we're talking to him about mitzvahs that make sense, that it could be explained to him. So each term for the mitzvahs denotes some kind of deficiency in the person performing the mitzvah. Either Eidos, he's totally in the dark, and the mitzvah has to, because he's doing something which he has no connection to at all. He needs to prove that there's some relevance for him in doing these mitzvahs. Or he needs to be engraved in him because he's resistant to it. Or needs to be explained to him, to his animal soul specifically, the why this is has any value. So that's what the wise child's question is. Why do we need mitzvot mishpatim? It seems that they're very far from the whole purpose of mitzvahs, connect to Hashem. And so why do we need to have the mitzvahs be performed in a way that they convince the person and they bring the person closer? It seems to be very far from the real content of what a mitzvah is, which is about connection to Hashem. Right. Be continued.